Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Wednesday Wagers, everyone's favorite episode. In case you don't like making teams like yesterday's Tuesday picks, we'll throw you some single bets for the week. We go through the added players, the withdrawn players, the weather for the week, our outright winners, and our top placement bets, top 5 through 40. And then we go through our matchups, which Todd and I compete for each other or compete against each other with for a prize at the end of every month. I won the first month, Todd won the second month, and we'll get into who won the third month once we get to the matchups. So starting out, we have the withdrawn players. There's none. Then we have the added players, and there's none. So it makes my part real easy. So now we're going to go to Weatherman Todd. What do we got, Todd?
Well, we got decently good golf weather, I would say. Looking at highs, probably the mid to low 70s all week. Lows mid to high 50s. The wind is going to be a pretty big factor, at least Thursday and Friday. You're looking at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Saturday kind of dies off 5 to 10 and Sunday. And then chance of rain on Thursday and Saturday. Chance of rain on Thursday at 60%. Saturday is chance of rain of 40%. So
that'd be a tough week.
Yeah, I mean, going back to yesterday's episode and talking about how the certain international players play well here, especially if the wind and the rain is that much of a factor, they're kind of the ones I'm looking at.
That's pretty fair. Well, yeah, it's going to be real interesting weather. Maybe the cut might be a little higher than usual, maybe a low weekend possibly.
Yeah, last year was kind of a little bit of an outlier. You know, you look back, you know, at the winning scores for over the years, it hardly ever gets to 20 under par. Wow. Like it was last year.
Okay. Yeah, this would be a fun week then. It's nice to see a grind, I would say.
Yeah. Especially on a short golf course, it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, it will be cool. It's especially with all that wind coming in.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to talk about our single bets, and we're going to talk about outright winners first. We'll tell you our names and the odds of what they are. I got 2 outright winners for the week.
I got 3.
Oh, wow, more than me.
I know. Normally, this never happens.
Jeez. All right. Well, I got my first one is Matthew Fitzpatrick, outright winner, and he is at plus 2,300 for the week. So, obviously, $10 to win $230 or $100 to win $2,300. I think Matty Fitz is going to do really well here, especially now that you're talking about the weather coming in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think he's definitely going to light it up this week. And if you want to hear all of our justifications on why we're picking all these people, we'll give you some as we go. But mostly, if you listen to yesterday's episode, you'll hear why we talked about them so high. But I was pretty high on Matty Fitz yesterday.
Yeah, you were.
I got him on quite a few lineups this week. So but that's one of mine. Give me 2 of yours.
So the first guy starting off is Abraham Answer.
Oh, wow. Outright winner.
Yeah, he's plus 3,000. And, I mean, he's not necessarily like in the tier with, you know, Tony Finau and Xander as far as like just can't seem to get a win.
Yeah, he's a big top 20 guy though.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this definitely seems like a golf course that he likes. I mean, he finished second here last year, and, you know, just going back to yesterday's episodes and his stats as far as driving accuracy and his solid iron play, plus how he plays Petai golf courses.
Yeah.
This definitely seems like a place where I think he might be able to eke out a win.
Yeah, I mean, I've looked into Abraham Answer somewhat this week. I think I have him on one lineup for the week. But if you look at my course comparisons, how I did it yesterday, I just compared it to Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens. And one of those is the Players, finished 22nd at the Players. And the other one was the WGC this year. Those are the two that he played in with Bermuda Tiff Eagle. And he finished 18th there. Yeah. So, again, big top 20 guy.
Yeah, big top 20 guy.
So, I think it's I could easily see the top 20. That'd be awesome to see him win. I like him. He seems to be a popular player.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites on tour.
Give me another outright winner you have.
So another guy is somebody that really loves this golf course also. I got Ian Poulter as an outright winner.
Whoa.
I think
what are his odds?
He is plus 8,000.
Rightfully so.
Yeah. I can't even remember the last time I've seen Ian Poulter win a golf tournament.
Was it Houston Open 2 years ago? Is that it?
I have no idea.
He was the Houston Open. He won the Houston Open to get into the Masters 1 year. I want to say it was 2 years ago, but it could have been three.
Are you thinking of Ian Poulter or Corey Connors? Because Corey Connors did the exact same thing.
Corey Connors won the Valero Texas Open.
Right.
Ian Poulter won the Houston Open.
Ah, okay.
I don't know what year, but anyway, continue.
Yeah, I just, like I said, his track record here is so good. And, you know, he seemed to, his game seems to be coming around since the match play.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he, I think he made it to the round of 16 in the match play and got beat by Scottie Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, to make it out of the group that he was in was pretty solid, and also finished tied 26 at the Masters. So, I mean, I think he's coming to a place where he's got some really good finishes here. And even if he's just hanging around and I can cash out on him, that'd be enough for me.
Yeah, the cash out buttons are a little harder to obtain now.
Yeah, for sure.
So I just looked it up here. I was right. I was close to it. It was 2018 he won the Houston Open.
Ah, okay.
And that was the last time he won, actually.
Okay.
But, yeah, cash out buttons are kind of hard to get now. I noticed I had a lot of bigger bets than the Masters, and I had $100 on Justin Thomas winning, and obviously I didn't get that. But I was monitoring it because the cash out button needed to be placed. And when you actually place higher bets like that, the cash out button is always, is almost always there. So it was interesting because I had Jordan Spieth also winning. But I placed that bet maybe 2 months ago, and that was a $10 bet. And Jordan Spieth was in the top 10. Now, I couldn't cash out on him, but Justin Thomas was in the, I think it was the top like 16 at the time. I think he was like tied 14th at the point, and I could still cash out on him.
Hmm.
So the more money you put on it, the easier it is to obtain the cash out. And it's actually better payouts as well, because there's a point where Justin Thomas got to, what was it, tied fourth at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to tied fourth, and I could cash out for a pretty good amount. But of course I didn't, but. But, yeah, so the more – it sounds riskier, but the more you put on it, the easier it is to obtain the cash out. But, like you said, you're maybe looking for the Ian Poulter cash out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're putting around probably 10, 20 bucks, something like that on it, then probably he has to get into the top five most likely in order to hit a good cash out button, I would say.
Right. And, I mean, the last 3 years he's been hanging around, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say the lead, but he's been hanging around the top 10.
Yeah.
The last 3 years here.
No, I have Ian Poulter on a lineup this week. I took your advice and I put him on there one. So, yeah, I like that one. Well, my last outright winner for the week is Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman is at plus 4,300. And if you heard us in yesterday's episode, we're pretty high on Charlie Hoffman this week. He has good course history here. I mean, it's not necessarily the greatest course history, but within the last 4 years, he's missed a cut twice. But he also has a tied 45th and a tied 23rd. But he's been playing, on my course comparisons, he's been playing well on Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens this year. And plus, watching him in the Valero Texas Open, like we talked about yesterday, he just seemed so hungry for a win.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be it this week. That might be a cash-out scenario, but I think I have Charlie on most of my teams this week. So I'm rooting for him. But who do you got? Who's your last outright winner?
Doug Gim,
wow.
Plus 9,500.
This is big money this week.
This is more of a dart throw. I mean, because he has been playing not the greatest since, you know, the Players happened.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just pretty much looking at his Pete Dye golf course record over this season, and it's been solid everywhere he's went as far as Pete Dye golf courses go.
Okay.
And so I'm going to take the risk with it.
Wow. Okay. Now, he played – was by American Express where he played really well at, wasn't it?
Yeah, I finished tied fifth there. And then, of course, everybody that has been watching golf watched – you know, he was pretty much in the lead at the Players and then just completely collapsed.
Yeah, the Players, that's the big one for me because American Express is multiple golf courses.
Yeah, he didn't play at a Pete Dye golf course every single round at that event.
Yeah,
but
the Players one, that's big because he really just had a horrible round on Sunday at the Players.
Yeah.
And he played really well besides that. That could be big. You going to monitor the cash out button for that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, now we're going to move on to our top 5, 10, 20, 30, and 40 placement finishes. We do it like that because FanDuel Sportsbook allows you to bet it like that. So I got a lot. I got 7 different placement bets this week.
Okay, I got 4.
Okay, well, there we go. That's more normal. I'll tell you two. So, actually, six of my placement bets are top 10 bets. I have six top 10 bets and one top 20 bet. I'm pulling to predict the entire top 10 this week. And if I do that, I'm going to win a lot of money on my teams and this. So
that'd be huge.
Two of my guys, one is Matthew Fitzpatrick again. I think Matthew Fitzpatrick again could win this tournament, but I really wanted to see myself get a lot of the top 10s, right? So put Matthew Fitzpatrick top 10 at plus 320, which no complaint there. Great odds. Another top 10 bet that I have is another outright winner of mine is Charlie Hoffman. Charlie Hoffman top 10 is plus 450.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, there you go. So yeah, I got those are two of my guys in the top 10. I still have four more top 10 guys, but go ahead, give me one of yours.
Okay, well, yeah, like I said, we both got Charlie Hoffman top 10. I've also got Ian Poulter top 20.
Okay.
He's plus 290. And if he doesn't win, that top 20 sounds like, you know, right where he would be at home at.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that's a relatively safe spot for Ian.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty good. What was his odds again?
Plus 290.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty
solid. Especially for top
20. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you two more of my top 10 guys. Another one of my top 10s is Brian Harman. Brian Harman top 10 is plus 360. He's just on such a roll right now.
Yeah.
He has good course history here, and he's played really well on all Bermuda Tiff Eagle greens this year. So I feel like – I don't know. I feel like top 10 is probably the absolute best he'll do. I feel like it's kind of a stretch for him. I could see him probably more top 20, you know, probably hanging around tied 16th or something.
Yeah.
But pulling for the top 10 again. Another one I have is Corey Connors top 10. Going for another top 10 for him. He is on a roll, on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey Connors top 10 is plus 320. So, again, these are all very solid odds we're looking at so far. And I don't know. I just feel like Corey Connors is definitely going to play well again. I feel like top 20 is a guarantee for Corey Connors this week. But – again, we're trying to – I'm pulling for the whole entire top 10 this week. So, give me another one of yours.
So, next guy I've got, top 30 bet, is Matthew Neesmith.
Okay.
He's plus 320. He's got – you know, the one tournament he's got here was last year. He finished tied 33rd. So, I mean, he's got to do a little bit better to get inside for my bet. But, I mean, he's just – his stats line up so well for this golf course. I mean –
yeah.
You know, he's getting it in play, and he's hitting a ton of greens. Like I said yesterday, he's first in greens in regulation.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean,
small greens.
These are tiny greens. You know, if he can just do what he's normally been doing this whole season, he's going to have a lot of makeable birdie looks.
Yeah. Well, what did you have him at top 30?
Yeah, he's plus 320 for a top 30.
Wow. That's it. I could see him top 20.
Yeah.
That could be huge. That's a good one. Two more of mine, my last two top 10 bets. One of them is JT Poston. Talked about him yesterday.
Yep.
And he already has two top 10 finishes here. JT Poston in 2020 finished tied 8th. In 2019, he finished tied 6th. And I usually go back 4 years, but there are 2 years he didn't play. And he's played really well at Bermuda Tiff Eagle golf courses this year. Already has two top 10 finishes. I think he'll get another top 10 finish.
Mm-hmm.
I could see possibly even top 5, but JT Poston top 10 is plus 850.
Wow.
So, love it. I feel like that's honestly a pretty high for a guy that already has two top 10s here.
He's streaky. So far this season's kind of been up and down.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's not exactly the greatest guy this season, but I'm going to pull for another top 10 there. He better get top 10. I have him on like – I think I have like 6 lineups for the week or something like that. And I think he's on 4 or 5 of them.
Oh, gosh.
He better do well. But my last one for my top 10, which honestly I feel like this is a no-brainer, is Cameron Smith. Top 10 is plus 310. So, yeah, all of my bets this week are in plus 300s. But Cameron Smith, you know, we're talking about really small greens here. If he just gets the green, if he hits the green, his putting is unbelievable this year. Especially on Bermuda Tiff Eagle greens, which we've been talking about. I mean, he has great finishes on Bermuda Tiff Eagle greens this year. That was the Players and the WGC that he played on. Coming off a good Masters week, his putting's unbelievable. if he's hitting these greens, like you said yesterday, he's not going to have longer than 20, 30-foot putts.
Yeah.
At probably the worst. So I feel like Cameron Smith should light it up this week, especially with some weather coming in. He seems to play good in windy conditions.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, yeah, Cameron Smith, top 10 plus 310. I like it. Give me yours.
So this last guy, I think I've kind of intrigued you a little bit with him, but it's Chase Seifert.
Oh, yeah.
Top 40.
I have him on one team this week.
He's plus 280.
For top 40.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty solid odds. Like we said yesterday, I mean, he's just – he's playing pretty good for, you know, the tier that he is in as far as DFS goes for how we do things.
Yeah.
And the one that really intrigues me is his tied third at the Honda Classic.
Yep.
Granted, the field was not as strong as this one is.
Field is buns.
But, yeah. But, I mean – that's another place that it gets really, really windy at, and he put three rounds under par at that golf course.
No, I think you made a really good pick yesterday with that. And Chase Seifert, top 20, is plus 650.
Wow.
So I feel like he'd get top 20 here.
Yeah.
So that's another pick you all could look at. But, yeah, I like it. That's huge. You got any more other picks?
Nope.
All right, so my very last pick for the week is I'm going back JT Poston again. JT Poston, top 20. Is, I feel like, a very safe spot for him in this golf tournament. Again, I'm pulling for the top 10, but so I got JT Poston top 10 at plus 850, but then I also have JT Poston top 20 at plus 360. So both very solid. I feel like he's going to play pretty well this week and snag us a top 10, I feel like. Yeah, I like your Chase Seifert pick, especially top 20 plus 650. That's pretty good.
Yeah, those are huge odds.
Yeah. All right, so you guys heard all of our placement bets for the week. Now we're going to move on to matchups, which Todd and I compete in each other with. And I said earlier we were going to talk about who won. Todd won by a landslide once again. I'm getting absolutely destroyed in the month of April. I mean, the first week we did this, I went 0-5. Todd swept me. And now this week, I went 1-4. So Todd's 9-1, and I'm 1-9. So Todd is absolutely destroying me in matchups this week or in the month of April. It's time to redeem myself. So
yeah, you're gonna have to catch up these last two tournaments.
Hey, we got time, buddy. You leave me alone. All right, so let's jump into it. You can take the very first one.
All right, up first we got Dustin Johnson at minus 142 going up against Patrick Cantlay at plus 112.
What do you think?
Honestly,
Cantlay.
Yeah, I mean, DJ's just not in a good spot right now.
DJ's playing horrible.
I mean, he comes back to the Masters where he, you know, is the defending champion and misses the cut by two.
Yep. Awful.
I mean,
Patrick Cantlay plus 112, taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one. All right, next up, Webb Simpson minus 142 versus Colin Morikawa plus 112. It's a tough one there.
Yeah, because I genuinely think both of these guys could play well this week.
These guys could both be top five.
Yeah.
I mean, Webb Simpson has fantastic course history here. He was first. He won in 2020, finished 16th 2019, 5th 2018, and 11th 2017. But if you're talking about my Bermuda Tiff Eagle comparisons for this week, he finished 83rd at the Players, so missed the cut. He did not play in the Arnold Palmer, did not play in the Honda Classic. He did finish very well at the WGC. I can't recall what jury did that, but he also finished 42nd in the Phoenix Open.
He won the WGC, didn't he?
No. Colin Morikawa won the WGC.
Oh, you're talking about Webb. Never mind.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Colin Morikawa won the WGC. Coming off a good Masters week as well.
Yeah.
Who do you think? That's a tough one. I feel like Webb's probably the safer option.
Yeah, Webb's definitely the safer option. But the stats-wise, the stats tell me to pick Morikawa.
I feel like the stats also tell you that because he's not playing nearly as much golf as Webb is.
That's also true.
What do you think?
I'll probably roll with Morikawa.
Oh, jeez. I gotta make good decisions this week. I'm going to roll with you there. I'm going to roll with Morikawa. I feel like Webb Simpson could be – I feel like Webb Simpson, we're talking probably top 15, and Morikawa could probably be a top 10 guy this week.
Yeah.
Something around there. But I'll roll with you. All right, next up is Daniel Berger at minus 112 versus Tyrrell Hatton at minus 112. Everybody on Masters Week, like Jim Nance and all of them, calling in Tyrrell Hatton. I don't know who's saying it right, us or them. I would assume Jim Nance is probably saying it right.
I would assume.
I'm going to keep calling him Tyrell. So, Daniel Berger, minus 112, and Tyrell Hatton at minus 112. Who do you got? Talked about both of them yesterday.
Yeah.
You did, actually.
I don't know, man. They both got great course history.
Yeah. I'm personally going to go with Daniel Berger. I think with his win at the AT&T Pro-Am, it's a short course. It's pretty windy. So he obviously knows what he's doing around that kind of conditions. I mean, Tyrell Hatton, a European Tour player, they obviously have a lot more weather than we do over here in the States. But I think they're both very well-suited for this golf tournament. And Hatton also has good course history. I'm personally going to go with Berger.
I think the weather is going to make me want to go with Tyrell.
Okay, there we go. First disagreement of the day.
Yeah.
This is what we need. We need like 10 disagreements, and I need to sweep you this one.
Yeah, I mean, just like we said yesterday, the Englishmen, for some reason, have a pretty good track record here.
They play good here.
And if the weather moves in, I don't know, that just diminishes my belief in Daniel Berger.
That's fair. Speaking of Englishmen, I was wanting to talk about Paul Casey this week, but I decided not to. Paul Casey has the potential of having a good week here.
Yeah, he seems like he's on the slow decline from the game he's been playing for the last 2 months.
He does have really good finishes on Bermuda Tiff Eagle Greens this year, though. But he just hasn't played this course in a long time. I think the last time he did play this course, I think, was 2018, and he missed a cut. But anyway, continuing on, you got the next one.
All right, we got your boy Matty Fitzpatrick, minus 126 up against Cameron Smith at minus 102.
Jeez.
This is going to be hard for you.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead and tell me your opinion and why so I can think.
I'm going to go with Cam Smith.
Wow.
I mean, both of these guys are guys that's got great history on your Tiff Eagle greens.
Mm-hmm.
But Cam Smith literally has Tiff Eagle greens in his backyard.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he practices on day in, day out when he's not playing in tournaments. And he's just playing so solid right now. You know, like you just said, coming off a good Masters finish, I think he's going to keep the ball rolling.
Yeah, I'm probably going to agree with you. I think Matty Fitz can definitely win this tournament. I just feel like Cam Smith's probably the safer option. Just because, like you said, he practices on all the time. And plus, his just putting is so good. So if he can just keep it in play and hit those greens, I mean, he'll be lighting it up. This is going to be extremely close, and it really goes against what I just said about Matty Fitz winning compared to Cam Smith top 10. But, one, I'm trying to have a good matchups record this week. And, two, I can agree with you. I think I have Cam Smith and Matty Fitz on a lot of lineups. I probably need to put Cam Smith on another one. But, taking Cam. Next up is Will Zalatoris, minus 112, versus Abraham Anser, minus 112. These are good matchups this week.
For everything I said yesterday, I'm going to go with Anser.
I'll take Zalatoris. I think Abraham Anser is definitely going to play well here, but again, he's just the top 20 guy, and I think Will Zalatoris is just on a run. He could be completely burnt out from last week at the Masters.
That's what I'm kind of thinking. I mean, I think Zalatoris is either probably going to win this golf tournament or miss the cut.
Wow, jeez,
which is a lot for me to say because dude just been playing solid golf week in and week out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like as hard of a golf course as Augusta is, and, you know, as much as he was in the spotlight all week long, he's got to be exhausted.
He's a little guy. He's fine.
I mean, he is young, and he's got – yeah, I mean, he's still got
– he's got a size 20 waist, you know. I'll take you on. I'll take Zalatoris for his answer.
Okay.
You got the next one.
Paul Casey at minus 126 up against your boy Shane Lowry at minus 102.
Going with Lowry. I picked Lowry this week.
You did.
And I just talked about Paul Casey, but I picked Lowry. Take me on.
I'll take Casey.
All right. Wow, disagreeing on a lot. This is what I need. This week, so you're going to completely decide the rest of April, or it's going to be real close after this. Tell me why you're picking Casey over Lowry.
Honestly, just personal preference.
Wow.
I mean, I picked,
you got beef with Lowry.
Yeah, I picked Lowry a couple weeks ago, and he really burnt me. And, of course, I've been picking Paul Casey the last couple of weeks with the match play and last week heavy at the players.
More than Lowry has.
Yeah.
You had Paul Casey winning the Dell match play, didn't make it out of group play. And we both had I had Paul Casey in the final round at Dell match play. And we both got that horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But we both had him in the Masters last week, and he finished, tied 21st or something?
Something like that, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Lowry's going to play well. I think he's going to beat Casey. All right, so next up, let's see. Sung J.M. at -112 versus Corey Connors at -112. Corey Connors.
Yeah, Corey Connors.
Next. Easy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sung J.M., he's a great player. He's playing really good this year, but Corey Connors is on such a tear. I think he's going to do it. You got the next one.
Sergio Garcia at -112 up against Tommy Fleetwood at -112. Honestly, both of these guys could miss the cut.
Jeez, Tommy Fleetwood's your Englishman.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to go with him.
Really?
Yeah, I expected Garcia to have a better showing than he did at the Masters. I mean, he missed the cut.
I don't know why everybody thought that. I told everybody the same thing. Don't pick Sergio. I told everybody that. Because he only has one good finish since the year he won. Yeah. All the other ones are terrible. But on that note, I'm taking Sergio.
Okay.
Yeah. Solely the reason why is because Fleetwood could possibly miss the cut. He could possibly tear his place to pieces. But that one really low round at the Players is what really intrigued me for Sergio. He clearly likes these types of greens.
He made a strong run at this title last year.
Exactly. He finished tied fifth last year.
Yeah.
So I think I'm not necessarily saying Sergio's going to do fantastic. I'm just saying he's going to do better than Fleetwood possibly. Plus, I really got some beef with Fleetwood right now.
Yeah, he's kind of burned you a little bit.
Burnt me like 3 weeks, and it's really pissing me off. But all right, next up, you got it or me?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, with Shane Lowry -116 versus Siwoo Kim at -112, the putter breaker.
Yeah,
Siwoo Kim has great course history here, along with Shane Lowry. I'm also taking Lowry.
I don't know why, but I just don't want to take Shane Lowry in anything.
You really don't like him. I'll take him again. I'll put two matchups on him.
I just don't think – I don't think Siwoo's going to really give a crap about this tournament.
I don't know. What do you think?
I'll take Lowry.
Oh, big money.
Yeah, I just – I don't know. I said it last week that Siwoo Kim, he kind of clocks in and clocks out when he wants to.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't see him really caring all that much about this golf tournament.
I agree with you. You got the next one.
Harris English -128 up against your boy Lee Westwood +102.
To be fair, every time you say your boy, they're usually not in my top five boys.
No, but you're...
I picked him for the week.
Yeah.
Harris English is terrible. Not really a big fan of him right now. He win the Sony? Is that right? No.
He won the Century.
The Century. And yeah, I've heard some people compare this golf course to the Sony. This golf course couldn't be farther from the Sony, I feel like.
Other than the wind.
It's just the wind. I mean, the yard is different. Greens are different. The greens at the Sony are massive as well.
Yeah.
Century is even bigger. But yeah, no, I don't think Harris English is going to do very well here at all. And I picked Lee Westwood yesterday because he has a second at the Players and a second at the Arnold Palmer, both Bermuda Tiff Eagle greens. Lee Westwood missed a cut in the Masters. He's had an extra 2 days off. I see Lee Westwood definitely beating Harris English.
Yeah, I'll probably go with you. I think this is a golf tournament or a golf course that Westwood doesn't have to. I mean, it's not a big boys track, so
no, he can just nickel and diamond around. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, let's see. Russell Henley -112 versus Robert McIntyre at -112. I don't know. I'm going with Russell. Actually, no, I do know. Yeah, Russell Henley. I thought about him this week. I decided not to put him in. Robert McIntyre had a decent showing at the Masters last week.
Yeah, he's actually been on a decent run.
Yeah, but I'm still going with Russell Henley. I also don't like Robert McIntyre's face. I just don't like his face.
I'm going to go with Russell Henley also.
All right. I agree. I mean, I think it's – I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of McIntyre anyway. But next up, you got it.
Chris Kirk -116 up against Matt Wallace at -112.
Wallace has been playing pretty good lately.
Yeah, but
– But we both picked Chris Kirk yesterday.
Yeah, Chris Kirk.
Taking Chris Kirk. All right, next up, Billy Horschel, Billy Hauhau, -116, and Christian Buitenhout at -112. This is another guy that Jim Nantz is calling something else that we just don't say.
Oh, they don't call him Buitenhout?
No, it was not even close. I don't remember what it was, but I literally remember just sitting on the recliner and I looked and Jim Nantz said, "Here comes Christian whatever." And I was like, "Well, that is not what we say."
Gesundheit. Maybe we'll just call him Gesundheit.
Christian Gesundheit. First Billy Hauhau. Christian.
Yeah, I mean, you really don't like Billy Horschel.
No, I don't have a problem with him right now. But no, I don't think Billy Horschel is going to play well here at all. I think Christian will play much better.
Yeah, I mean, they both had kind of similar showings at the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take Buitenhout.
All right. Fair enough. You got the next one.
Ian Poulter, -112 against Brendan Grace at -112.
Brendan Grace has won this tournament before, hasn't he?
I want to say yes.
I think it was. I think he won in 2016, I think. See how good my my memory is. But who do you think? I mean, obviously, you need to take Ian Poulter.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Ian Poulter.
Wow, okay. So big. I'm definitely taking Ian Poulter as well. I think Brendan Grace is just...
I mean, he's on a pretty good stretch of golf right now. You know, he's coming back after one of his family members passing away. I believe it was his father.
Yeah, but that was a little while ago.
Yeah.
Not a little while ago. It was in, like, the last 3 months. But, yeah, Brendan Grace won in 2016.
Okay.
If you heard clicking, I was looking on the computer. Ian Poulter. I got confidence in him this week.
Yeah, I do too.
Next up, Emiliano Grillo, -118, and Kevin Streelman at -108. Kevin Streelman. I picked him this week. He's actually on a lineup for me this week. You gonna take me on again?
Man, this also seems like a golf course Grillo should be pretty good at.
He does have decent course history here. A lot of top 30s.
Yeah, I'll go with Grillo.
Oh, okay.
Grillo.
Yeah, whatever. Just listen to whatever Jim Nantz says and we'll call him that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're on. That's five now. He's got a lot more to go. Next up, you got it.
Dustin Johnson at -126 up against Webb Simpson at -102.
Webb Simpson. Next. Patrick Cantlay, -116 versus Daniel Berger at -108. Oof.
Yeah. Big oof.
I don't know. Patrick Cantlay has such good course history here. You know, third in 2019, seventh in 2018, and third in 2017. Daniel Berger was third here last year.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Cantlay is playing horrible in the last three tournaments. I did pick him for this week. He's not on the lineup, though.
I'll probably go with Cantlay.
God.
I feel like as far as talent goes, I think Cantlay's more talented than Berger is.
Yeah.
And at some point, I mean, he's not going to miss every single cut.
But why is Cantlay missing cuts? The reason Cantlay took so long to get on tour is because he had a lot of injuries and it had to do a lot with his back.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the reason he's missing cuts is because something's wrong with his back and he's just not talking about it. Because he's very talented and a lot of people picked him for the Masters, including us, and he did horrible.
True.
I don't know. I really want to pick Cantlay, but I really want to do more matchups. I'm going to go Berger. I'm going to double down on Berger for the week. That's another one I'm regretting as I write it. I might cancel that one at the end of this. Next up, you got it.
Colin Morikawa, -128, up against Tyrrell Hatton, +102.
Are you going to double down on Hatton? Because I'm taking Morikawa.
I can't.
Wow.
Just the stats, I can't. I got to go with Morikawa.
Do you have him in a lineup this week?
Morikawa?
Yeah.
Not yet, but he will be going in some lineups.
Yeah, same. I think I put him on one or two for the week. All right, next up, Will Zalatoris at -128 versus Cameron Smith at +102. Will Zalatoris might win this tournament, but again, Cam Smith, I feel like he's a pretty safe option this week, so going with Cam Smith.
Yeah, I'm going with Cam Smith.
Yeah, we justified that earlier. All right, next up, you got it.
Paul Casey, -118 up against Matty Fitz at -108.
Matty Fitz.
Yeah.
Justified that earlier. Next. Abraham Answer, -112 versus Corey Connors at -112.
This one's hard.
We have to bet against each other on this one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take it. I'm taking Corey. You got answer.
That scares the crap out of me. You'll probably end up winning that one.
You have doubled down on answer now. You have taken answer over Corey Connors and Zalatoris. Bold. But you have to. You're hype on him this week.
I can't not go with him, but yeah, for sure. The Zalatoris doesn't scare me as much as the Corey Connors.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, next up, you got it.
Sung Jae-in -122 up against Kevin Na -102.
I know who I'm taking.
I'm going to roll with Na.
Me too. I think Na's a little bit older, and I was just dogging on the Sony Open, but he knows how to play in the wind.
Right.
And it's a nickel and dime course. I wouldn't say nickel and dime course. It's not short, but it's not long. It's shorter than most.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Kevin Na will be able to compete quite well. Sung Jae-im, he's playing well. He very well will play well this week, but Kevin Na still. Next up, Brian Harman -128 versus Tommy Fleetwood at -102.
Easy.
Brian Harman. Next one's easy, too.
Charlie Hoffman at -116 up against Sergio Garcia at -112.
Charlie
Hoffman.
Done deal.
Yep.
All right, so you and I disagreed on 7 matchups this week.
There you go.
So that's a good one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sweep you and be 8-9. Still negative. But just to recap what we took, I took Daniel Berger, and you took Tyrell Hatton over Daniel Berger. And the next matchup, I took Zalatoris, you took Answer. Then I took Shane Lowry, and you took Paul Casey. I took Sergio, you took Fleetwood. I took Streelman, you took Grillo. I took Berger, you took Cantlay. I took Corey, and you took Answer. Tough.
Yeah.
Tough week. I feel like I'm kind of risking a lot versus Sergio and Fleetwood and Berger and Cantlay, but we're going to roll with it. All right, so we got anything else? We're going to sign off here?
Nope, go for it.
All right, well, follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, at Morning Mully. Instagram's our main account. We post everything through there, so it's obviously the more important place to be. But send us all of your lineups, all your bets for the week. We want to see them. Just send them. Just send us a screenshot of your winning lineups. We would appreciate it. If we make any more posts for the week, let us know if you guys want us to stick with FanDuel or DraftKings for Tuesday's episodes. We're debating on switching. Wednesdays will still be through FanDuel Sportsbook, but we might look into changing, but we'll see. But other than that, that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed Wednesday Wagers, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you.